previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
The coach, Dick Vitale. Good morning, Dickie.
Thank my daughters, a double domers. Get the honorary alum degree. I'm excited. As not many people get one. And my daughters are kind of depressed. So I said, I don't understand this. Why do you guys look so down instead of being happy for your dad? They said, Dad, you know what you just did to our degrees? You diminished the value of our honorary alum degree.
Oh.
I was so dumb, man. I couldn't get a Notre Dame because I couldn't spell Notre Dame.
Live from downtown Chicago.
Hump Day!
It's the Steve Cochran Show.
It's Hump Day.
Woo-hoo! On 720 WGN.
Good morning, 509-720 WGN. Happy Wednesday. Good morning to you. It is the Steve Cochran Show. I'm Andrea Darlis. Mary Vandeveld is in traffic. Vic Bonin News. Dave Ennett, Sports. Orion in Arizona covering the business for you. Kevin Powell, Ross Cochran producing the program today. And, yeah, Dickie V was on yesterday. We had a lot of laughs with Dickie V, baby. I can't do it, but isn't it funny? Every time you say his name, Dave, it always comes to Dickie V, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it very well.
No, you tried.
You can hear the full interview on our website, WGNradio.com. Click on the Steve Cochran Show page. You'll find the full podcast up there as well. Speaking of podcasts, we went up to Wrigley Field yesterday, Dave. Tim Barnes and our video department and I, we put together a nice little package that's going to be up a little later on today on the bleachers, the lack thereof, the reconstruction at Wrigley and how slow the progress is going. Andy Mazur has some really cool photographs up there as well. Andy Mazur's photographs are stunning.
He's
don't
a good
you
photographer.
Think? Wow, is he good.
Yeah.
He takes all kinds of photos, you know, Chicago scenes, landscapes, sunrises, sunsets. But he has some really cool pictures of the bleachers, you know, the scoreboard and, as I said, the lack thereof when it comes to the bleachers. So we're going to be putting some videos up there this week just to kind of get you updated on what the situation is. Let me just tell you from my vantage point, our vantage point yesterday, as we were standing on Waveland, what is open of Waveland, it's a mess. It's not, they say, oh, it's going to be complete in May or June. No, it's not. No way, unless you work round the clock, you know, so it's going to be interesting.
Well, the Cubs say the ballpark's going to be as ready as it can be Sunday night.
Right.
It's going to be safe for the fans, and it's known that the bleachers aren't going to be ready for a while. But they said, other than that, they started to put the panels on the video board yesterday. And the video board is going to be up and running, and so they're full steam ahead.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We shall see. Opening night is
Never
Sunday
easy
night.
Easy to do a big remodel.
This is true. They need more time. I think back in October they should have said, you know what, this is going to take a while instead of, yeah, it'll be ready for opening day and getting everybody's expectations
all
set.
Well, I think they had to shoot for it. I mean, you have to have a target. You have to try for it.
It's true. But seeing it in person just shows one, or showed me anyway, that there's a long way to go on this. So we'll have much more on that throughout the morning as well. Our other big international story, Iranian nuclear talks. As the deadline approached, still no agreement at the Iranian nuclear talk table. There appears to be a little bit of movement, however, not too much. ABC's Molly Hunter has been following the story and joins us with an update this morning. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning. You're right. There is a little bit of progress. And even though we blew past that deadline yesterday, that deadline was considered to be midnight last night. Talks went deep into the night, have started this morning, but it's looking more hopeful. Now, negotiators on both sides say that they are making progress, but there are still some big sticking issues. But we should expect something, some press statement, some declaration of progress, some statement this evening, hopefully.
Now, when you say some sticking issues, is that the fact that most of the people at the negotiating table, most of the countries don't want Iran to have any sort of nuclear arms? Iran says, yeah, we want to construct a few. We want to have this, that, and the other. And everybody else at the table is saying, no, it's going to be all nothing.
That's absolutely right. So the two big sticking issues that we have been told about from both sides, from the U.S. and its allies and from the Iranian side, are twofold. So the first is sanctions. So Iran is sanctioned heavily by the United Nations, by the European Union, by the U.S., and they want those sanctions immediately suspended, immediately released. And they want relief for the regular Iranian person. Now, Americans say that we need to see some goodwill. We need to see some confidence-building measures before we offer that economic relief. And the other big sticking point is the timeline. So Iran says Sure, we'll agree to this for about a decade, but Americans want to sharply limit that nuclear activity for much longer than a decade.
You bring up a really good point, Molly, when you said, you know, the Iranian citizens, just the regular citizens of Iran. What is their input? Do they have any input? Obviously, I know they want peaceful negotiations, but how will this affect them?
They want this deal. They want this deal to come through. Iranians that I've spoken with, both in the capital of Tehran and outside the capital, are heavily in support of this deal because they think it means more open relationships with the West. It means good things for their future, and they're ready for that. They are part of this new generation that wants to build bridges. They're not part of this hardliner culture in Iran that doesn't want to build bridges with the West. And I can tell you, we did it. ABC News had a big poll back in the States that was released yesterday that also found that the majority of Americans were in support of this. So I can tell you that regular people on both sides of this really want this deal to come through. And you know what? I think the negotiators know that.
Molly Hunter, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. Be safe.
My pleasure.
There you go. It's ABC's Molly Hunter. The delay, as I explained the other day, is obviously she is overseas. She's in Geneva joining us. So we appreciate that, taking time. She's following these talks, and we'll bring you new information as it becomes available. As it appears, though, right now, still no agreement, and that deadline has passed, expected to be extended through June until some sort of a deal is reached. As I said, we'll keep you updated on developments. 5:15 now, a far cry from yesterday as compared to the roads. At least we don't think Steve is, Steve is stuck today, do we?
Hasn't called in yet.
Okay,
huh?
Good. No, we
he
haven't
has no
heard.
Excuse today because everything's wide open.
He ended up just actually south of St. Louis yesterday.
Oh, well, he was
having a reroute.
He was at Cellular Field, then he was at Wrigley.
he took a tour of Chicago and then went way south.
Yeah.
To loop around.
Saw every major venue possible.
You join a health club, you don't pay a sales tax. And I believe those services and other types of services should be charged because they're more reflective today of today's economy than it was 30.
The wine club could be
30 years ago.
Okay, you got to give it to Chuy Garcia. That was very funny. The gloves were off yesterday once again. Chuy Garcia, Rahm Emanuel, final debate in the mayoral race ahead of the April 7th election next Tuesday. They clashed on everything from city finances to the noise at O'Hare, and have to give it to Rahm Emanuel. At one point, the debate was on WTTW. Phil Ponce was moderating, and at one point, it was a very spirited debate, very lively. I thought they really tackled a lot of issues, but at one point, Phil Ponce asked Chuy Garcia about his son's alleged gang affiliations, and that's when Rahm Emanuel said, "You know what? I think this line is really out of questioning."
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
I don't actually think this is a fair line of questioning.
Actually, with...
I don't. I think, let me say this.
I agree. I think it was. I think I'm glad the mayor stepped up and said that, because they are debating about each of their records and what they're going to do for the city and making it better for all of us who live in the city of Chicago. So I agree with the mayor. That line was the line of questioning was inappropriate. The debate almost immediately became heated, though, as Chuy Garcia questioned the veracity of the city's finances. He says they've never been independently audited. Emanuel contended that Garcia doesn't have the skills even to manage the city's finances. So we're going to have much more coming up in the big story about the debate and how heated it got. But as I said, April 7th is the election. Early voting has been off the charts as far as the numbers coming in. Some 70,000 plus. That was the last number, so I know that number has increased. But 70,000 people have sent in their vote, have voted early, which is twice what it was in February. So that's a good thing. People are getting out there and voting. 5:21 now, time for a first look at business. Sponsored by First Merit Bank, here is Orion Samuelson.
First caller always wins. Tom is standing by for that. Stand by. Live from the WGO, the world's greatest office, we are live on Michigan Avenue in this 9 glass-paneled view of the greatest city in the world situation that we sit in every day.
Very, very fortunate we are.
It's ridiculous how great this is.
Mm-hmm. So, WGO, I like that. That's
when I think of the dumps I've worked in and to be able to be back here, man, this is great. Tom is standing by. Tom, of course, first caller always wins. Tom, you're a big winner, and all you had to do is call. Stand by 1 second. And places, people, let's try it again. Hey, Tom, you're a big winner, and all you had to do is call.
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much. And I love your show, and it's perfect timing for me because I'm able to listen to you. You're able to give me some comedy relief and learn some things because I work nights, kind of like the Nick DiGilio shift.
Ah, you're a good man. You're a good man. Yeah, you've made my day already. Kevin, we don't have enough prizes for Tom. We're going to have to get more beyond what we already are about to give him. I have a gift card to Theory. I have Lou Malnati's Pizza. I have tickets to Carousel. Are you doing that interview with the Carousel cast?
We are. The cast Carousel is coming in. We'll have it podcasted on your website later on today.
All right, excellent. We also have the ChevyDriveChicago.com WGN Radio Stainless Steel Travel Mug and a Papa Nicholas Coffee situation as well. And then, Kevin, why don't you give him a Surratt's car and just give whatever money is in Rose's wallet.
It's probably a lot of money, and I'll have to run it through Marianne about the car before we give it away.
All right, yeah. Well, listen, just get it done, man. Just get it done.
The money should last Tom through the end of the year, though.
I don't know. Rose's not as rich as he used to be. Tom, what do you have for us? What do you want to give us?
Well, thank you. I just want to thank you so much. And you know what? The other night, this goes back to the Coach Q interview. You asked him his favorite beer, and with all this brouhaha about the craft beers,
yeah.
His simple question was cold, and I love it.
Cold beer. Dave is more discerning than that. Dave, what's your favorite beer?
I'm good with cold.
Oh, cold's fine as
cold's
well.
Cold's fine with me.
All right, Tommy, hold on, man. Thank you. That's Tom. We love Tom. Tom is now one of my favorite listeners of all time. Just send Tom prizes every day. Just to randomly keep sending him things. Lourdes Duarte will be on the show later, and in the background on one of our many monitors here in the studio, one of our many spectacular 12-inch color monitors. The latest telenovela from the early news crew at Channel 9 is on with all the traditional bad acting. And there's really the background here is there's a love triangle between Ana Balaval, Lourdes Duarte, and Dan Ponce.
It's very funny.
Yes. This one seems to involve disguises, downtown shoots.
The Billy Goat?
The Billy Goat.
and we shouldn't say who the remember last time Phil Ponce made a cameo? They have another big-time Chicago news face making a cameo this year.
From another station.
Mm-hmm. Very funny. I'll let Lourdes tell you.
So it's Lourdes Duarte will be on later, and we'll talk about it. Okay? Listen, weekday mornings to me, and the money clip is at 7:20. Seriously? I didn't know he was in.
I didn't either.
Why am I not? Why am I surprised that Larry Wirt would show up in this?
He's just one. There's another big name in there as well.
Yeah. Very impressive. All right, 5:47, actually. Let's get the traffic update. Mary's here with that. What is the update on the traffic, Mary, since that's what you have to tell us? What am I listening to, Ken?
The CeeLo Green.
Well, CeeLo, what a fool. Is that what this is?
Fool for you.
Fool
it's
for
April
you?
April Fool's Day.
Oh, it's April Fool's Day.
You got it?
Yeah. Got
rabbit,
it.
That's rabbit, rabbit,
quality,
rabbit.
High quality producing right there, Steve.
What was rabbit, rabbit, rabbit?
You got to say that on the first of every month.
That was the Bob Collins thing?
Yes.
Why am I saying rabbit, rabbit, rabbit?
I don't know. You just do.
Or was it Wally?
No, it was a Wally Phillips thing.
It
was not
spread out.
The Bob Collins thing. It was Wally Phillips.
Why am I saying Wally, Wally, or
it's folklore.
You're not saying Wally, Wally, Wally.
I can if I want to.
It's supposed to be good luck for the whole month. It's like one of those old wives' tales.
Hence the rabbit.
So how many times did Wally say rabbit, rabbit, rabbit all morning? Did he say anything else?
You just have to say it one time, I think.
The joke was you had to say it first. You had to be the first to say it when you saw somebody on the first of every month.
And the first caller that came in on the first day of the month and said rabbit, rabbit, rabbit got the whole prize list.
Why don't you give that to Tom? Call him back and tell him to say it. You know, Orion has become, without asking for it or without even accepting it, the unofficial historian of this place because, Orion, I don't know if you know this, but you worked at some point with everybody in the Hall of Fame class.
Yes, indeed. I have the, well, to still work with some of them, but yeah, it's an honor for me to have worked with all of them from Franklin McCormick all the way to Lou Manfredini.
How about that? Yeah. How about that? And our friend David Kaplan, who will be on at 6:20, celebrated 20 years on the air here yesterday.
He's just a kid.
Yes, exactly. 20 years, you're not even out of probation yet at the Tribune Tower.
We were at Lon's last night for a birthday dinner, and as I entered the patio area, I said hello to Andrew, who is the host of the Mater D, and several people sitting at a table said, "My God, that's Orion Samuelson," and they were from Chicago. And the gentleman said he'd been listening for 45 years.
How great is that?
Yeah, it was,
that's
it was
tremendous.
A great night. Yeah, right.
You know, it used to be a situation here where Orion would, have said, "Well, I worked with all three morning shows." And then there were like four in 4 years or something. So I'm
that's
glad
right.
We slowed the roll here.
Eddie Hubbard was the morning show host when I joined the station in 1960.
We were talking about that the other day. Who preceded Wally Phillips?
That's right. Yeah, we were trying to.
So Eddie Hubbard.
Eddie Hubbard.
So it was Eddie, Wally, Bob, Spike, Dark Ears, and then I came back.
So five, really.
And you should never have left, sir. If you'd listened to your father here, you wouldn't have been gone.
Well, I prefer to think of you as a big brother. And really, there was no choice for me to leave because someone had to take a bullet for the building. So
bullets.
It'll all be in the book. It's 5:54 coming up later on the program. I mentioned a money clip. Karen Conti's on today. Andy Roddick. Dave, do you prefer Andy Roddick's story as a tennis player or the fact that he's married to Brooklyn Decker?
Well, I mean,
both are good.
He's very accomplished.
Both are strong.
He's very accomplished.
Yes. Jordan Goodman talking money in the 7 o'clock hour, and breakfast with a hawk this morning. I've asked Troy Murray to join us because Troy's great every time he's on, and I want some perspective from Troy as a former player and a guy now who watches every game as the lead analyst for us to give us a real sense of where this team is. Because it seems to me when they play games they have to win, they're on it. And when they play games that they're supposed to win, they're not.
That's
been the pattern.
That's a fair statement, yes.
Yeah. But the texter question today is, if you could ask Rahm Emanuel anything, what do you want to ask him? And you can make it funny if you prefer to make it funny or make it serious. But if you live in the city of Chicago, I'll bet you have a question for Rahm Emanuel.
Questions.
You have one?
I have a lot.
You want to get back to me on those?
I'll get back to you on those. But they probably will have to do with red light cameras and potholes.
Doesn't matter. Those are legitimate questions. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. We'll take a break. Come back. 6 o'clock news straight ahead. 720 WGN. It's 5:58. Here's the update on the Iran situation. The negotiations are now in overtime. They were supposed to end last night at midnight, and everybody got tired and said, "Who wants pizza?" And, well, I don't know if it was pizza, but they all decided to wrap it up and go into overtime today. So I want you to know, when there is a deadline in politics, there is a deadline. You don't go over the deadline unless you decide to go over the deadline, which is what they've done. Now, you don't want them to get to a shootout, considering what we're talking about, but they're in overtime right now. And we'll see where it progresses over the course of the short term and hopefully not into the long term. The framework of a deal was allegedly in place on Sunday. Not quite sure what happened to the framework, but the main argument is Iran wants to keep a certain number of centrifuges. Now, I've got some centrifuges in my house. I went to Costco. I picked them up. You know, you can buy, you know, a couple of dozen at a time, get a good price.
You don't really have those at your house.
No, I don't. Okay. I wouldn't know a centrifuge from a other fuge.
Otherwise, they're going to move the talks from Geneva to East St. Louis.
Well, no, of course, I don't. Yeah. But the centrifuge is the key piece in taking the nuclear materials and eventually weaponizing them or determining what you do with them. And Iran wants to keep several hundred, several thousand. Who knows what the actual number is? Because they say they need that. The nuclear inspectors need to decide how much they need to produce nuclear weaponized materials that they could eventually turn into weapons. That's the whole negotiating stance. You've got other countries involved. You got Germany, you got England, you got Russia, you got China, you got us. So getting this all done is a big, weighty thing. It appears it will still get done in some form. But keep in mind, the overarching thing over all of this is all about sanctions. Iran wants the sanctions that they have imposed upon them lifted. They've got big economic troubles. They've got troubles related to their oil abilities, all related to sanctions. They want the sanctions to go away. That's why they're willing to negotiate. But none of this is legally binding. It's not a treaty. And again, it's Iran. The leadership of Iran, not the good people of Iran, because the majority of the people of Iran, I'm sure, are fine people. But the leadership of Iran is not to be trusted.
And I think we made the point yesterday, too. At this point, it's a handshake and a gentleman's agreement, but there really aren't any gentlemen on any side, especially when it comes to Iran.
So we will find out where that goes. That's a major thing today. And last night was the last Chuy Garcia and Rahm Emanuel hoedown throwdown. And the debate last night on Channel 11, Andre will have some details on that coming up. And we'll also get into that with possibly some clips from it as well later on in the program. Now, at a minute after 6 o'clock, let's get to the news.
Noticias, ayer, mañana y hoy. Noticias, cada día te doy. Noticias, te invito a venir a ver nuestras vidas.
The Ponce kid's good, isn't he?
Noticias, de muchos amores. Noticias,
I like Dan. I don't like, what are they, the other brother, the other Ponces, there's Tootsie. And
no, we like all the Ponces.
Tito. I think it's Tito. Lourdes Duarte joins us now. Good morning, Lourdes. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Cochran. So what'd you think?
I think it's really, really good. And I think the two cameos are ridiculously funny. And I just want, you know, let me tell you something. One of the cameos involves someone that I know well, who is very difficult to get any time with. The fact that he carved out about a half day to goof around with you is pretty American. That's it. Just couldn't be any better. I couldn't be more thrilled.
And he wanted more lines. Oh, we had to hold him back, Cochran.
Believe me, I've met him. I know he wants more lines. Let me bring in your co-star here, Dan Ponce, because not only does Dan have a wonderful voice, Dan also... Hey, man, how are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Good. And nice job as always, but not, I'm impressed by something else. There's a point in this, and I want to give it up, but Lourdes does something special with her hair.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not a hair out of place on Ponce's head. So the
That's because the guest star obviously is responsible for the sabotage here.
Yeah.
I don't want to give too much away from the about the plot, but I'm glad you appreciated these epic cameo appearances.
Oh, the cameos are great, but you guys are fantastic, and the love triangle you're involved with. Any dude in Chicago would be happy to be in the middle of that.
Well, we wanted it to, you know, echo like a real newsroom drama, so that's why I went with that plot.
It reminds me of when Sapelsa slept his way out of Channel 5.
What?
Starting rumors again. No. We need to get Sapelsa to be on this telenovela. I'm working on that next.
I'll ask him.
We need to get him in there.
I'll ask him.
Ridiculous.
We need to work on his Spanish. Yeah.
I have embarrassing pictures of Sapelsa. I can make that happen.
I will call you later.
All right.
You forward them to me.
All right. I don't know how we can talk about this without giving it up, but people have to see it. So where can they see it?
Yeah, it's about to go up on WGN TV's website. We're also going to put it on YouTube. But what we can say is that the plot line picks up exactly where episode one leaves off. And essentially, we find out that me, the male lead, has been two-timing with these two ladies.
Right.
And one of them tries to sabotage and successfully sabotages Lourdes' character. And the guest star is someone people will recognize very well here in Chicago.
And she's vicious.
She's vicious.
Oh, yeah.
She's vicious. Ruthless.
Yes, it appears that the slap was real in this one. how hard was the slap?
Okay, I think Lourdes is actually going to put together a compilation of outtakes But Anna really got me pretty good.
Anna got you good one time. She felt bad.
She got me good. Yeah.
Because when you do a TV or a movie punch or a slap, you're supposed to do the camera angle and the timing so your face turns into the fist or
yeah,
the hand gets to you.
Mm-hmm. We did some of that. We put in a little sound effect, but it is very realistic.
Yeah,
looks... she really got me good. And again, that's something that you'd see in a regular telenovela, you know, one of these soap operas. Everything's just sort of random. You have these characters that appear out of nowhere in costume with no explanation. It's really melodramatic. And I'm just so impressed with Lourdes. I mean, I had no idea she could act this
well. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, she's tremendous.
Neither did I. Telenovelas are in my future. So, you know, the funny thing about this is that Dan, this is Dan's baby. This is his project. I just sort of sit back and do what he tells me. But he comes up with the script along with Anna, right down to there's a scene where we hand money out. He had me go to the currency exchange and go exchange some dollars into pesos.
So how do you know you're not? How do you know you're not money laundering for him?
Yeah.
Dan Ponce Ford Coppola. I believe. Just real quick here, Kev. Do we have a clip? Roll it. That's the entire clip. That's all we could play.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. What time will it be up at Channel 9's website?
It's going to be up soon. The web folks are actually downloading it as we speak. We're going to put it on the website. And then I think the easiest thing, go to WGN Morning News Facebook page. Lourdes is going to post it. I'm going to post it. Anna's going to post it. So you can watch it there on our website and also on YouTube.
Will there be a part three?
Oh, you know it.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted to hear.
Yeah. And Lourdes, kudos to you. She took the brunt of channeling her inner Cyndi Lauper. That's all I'm going to say.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're exactly right.
It took some time. It took some time. Lots of hairspray. You should have seen me when I tried to wash it that night.
Ooh, boy, me too. Yeah, me too. All right, you guys, congratulations.
Hey, thanks so much.
See you later. That's Dan Ponce.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, give me a call. Dan Ponce, Ford Coppola, and Lourdes Duarte.
That's very funny.
So have you seen the full thing yet?
No, I've only seen parts of it because I don't think the full telenovela is up yet. It's great, though, what I've seen.
It's hilarious to me because there are people who try to get a meeting with the guy, the big executive guy that's in this.
Larry Wirt.
Yeah, that's the one. I guess I did say that already.
Yeah,
didn't
you said
I?
It. You said it. It's already out there.
There's people who try to get a meeting with Larry all the time, you know, who would cut off their left arm to get a meeting with Larry. And why can't they get a meeting with Larry? Because he's down on Lower Wacker shooting a telenovela with Lourdes.
I think I've seen Larry twice. In 15 years.
He's one of the funniest people I know, so he's perfect for this. He's probably much better at this than he is at running this company. It's 6:18, time for your traffic, and let's get Mary in here for that, because that's what she does on 720 WGN.
He was aggressive. As I said, the big thing, he's a little winded, but, you know, we expected that. But overall, you know, I thought it was good.
What's going on there, Buttercup? What's going on there, Cowboy? Sparky, Cowboy. Dog. What's going on there, Sparkles? Romeo. Dog. Buttercup. Romeo. Buttercup.
Now, your Chevy dealer at ChevyDriveChicago.com present Cap's Corner with David Kaplan.
So when you see Coach Tom Thibodeau, do you call him Buttercup or Sugar Pants, or what do you call him?
Fibs.
You don't think you respond well to Pookie?
I mean, I would call him Sparkles.
Sparkles.
Yeah.
I'd love to be around for that. All right, so Derrick Rose, two practices in a row. You know basketball better than anybody I know. What does this mean to you?
It's a good first step. I mean, look, you got to get this guy back. They're not going to win anything if he's not playing at a reasonably high level. He's not going to come back and be the MVP that he was. That's, you know, just fantasy land. But he's still a phenomenally talented player, and if they're going to realize the potential this team thought they had, he is going to be one of the key cogs in that playoff run. I still think they can make a playoff run. I really do. But he's got to be percolating at probably at least 85%.
Who are they likely to get in the first round?
Right now they would get the Bucks, who they play actually tonight. So
and Milwaukee's been going the wrong way for a while, so you want to get a team that's not hot, right?
Correct. They should be able to handle Milwaukee. It's all going to come down to, I think, goes through the Bulls and Cleveland. I know Atlanta's had a great year and a great record. I just don't think Atlanta's going to win an NBA championship as presently constituted. I really don't. So I think that the Bulls are deep enough. Again, it comes down to health, one. Now they've got Jimmy back, Taj back. They got to get Derek back. But if Derek is not a threat, they don't have a chance to win a title.
So Dave and I were just talking off the air about the fact that we saw some medical test results and that Derek Rose is 70% stained glass. Have you seen those?
I did see those. Mine was 65.
Oh, it's 65. All right. Well, we'll compare notes. I want to move you to something else here. Tiger Woods has played Augusta, not in an official capacity, but his plane was spotted in Augusta, and he went out and, called up and said, hey, can I get the 120? And then he went out and had three walk-ons, and they went out and played Augusta. This could mean one of two things. This could mean he's tried it out to see if he's mentally ready and if his game is ready, or he's proven to himself that he can't. What side do you fall on?
Boy. I've tried to believe in him a number of times, thinking, okay, he's ready now. He's healthy. He had this done. He had the knee fixed. He had the back is better, and he's going to be back to being maybe not the dominant, win all these majors by, a dozen shots. But the longer this goes, the more I'm convinced that we're just never going to see Tiger Woods be one of the elite golfers again. He's not in the top 100 now. I mean, do you realize – I think you're in the top 100. I mean, we're talking about he has fallen almost the biggest fall from grace of any super, superstar athlete in my lifetime.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is, again, to the best of our knowledge, and again, there's cameras everywhere, people, he's not hurt. This is all skill-based now. This is all mental. This is all, I can't play anymore. And if that's the case, maybe that's it. Maybe he can't play anymore.
Correct. It may be just everything mentally. It's such a mental game, and you know that. I mean, you and I play a lot. It's just such a mental game that maybe everything beat him down, everything he went through, publicly humiliated. And the funny thing is, and again, what he did was awful. But Bobby Hull was on with me one day. This is when all this stuff had broken. And he goes, boy, they're just killing this guy. And if they knew the stuff that we got away with back in my day, that guy's like a monk. So it's just a different world now.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And it's I believe, don't count him out, don't count him out. The worst thing you can do is count him out. He'll be back. The walking off of events as he's done recently, and now this. Whether or not he can decide to go into the match, I don't know, man. He may be done.
It's been 8 weeks since he last played a competitive round of golf.
It's incredible.
As far as we know. And he doesn't have to announce yet whether he's playing the Masters, and he doesn't even have to declare that he's in or out until the first round. But
oh, no, he's got to announce by Friday. I think it's Friday afternoon.
No, there's no deadline.
Well, there's got to be there's no alternate.
He does not. He would probably let Augusta know if he's coming.
I would hope.
Just no. So because there are some logistical issues when Tiger Woods.
Hey, can you get me a parking space? Hey, it's Tiger.
Yeah, there's that.
Can I get a spot to
he has
park?
To have a courtesy car.
Hi, I'm Tiger Woods. I'm here to play today. What?
Hey, do you guys rent clubs?
You know that there was a golfer. Do you remember a golfer by the name of Mo Norman?
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah.
Mo Norman was one of the great players in the history of the game. But he was
and by the way, autistic.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
It was believed he had Fragile X syndrome.
Right.
And a form of autism. And he showed up to play the Masters and didn't have a caddy. And he did not like anyone touching his clubs. And they said, Mr. Norman, you have to have a caddy or you'll have to use one of the club's caddies. He goes, no one touches my bag. And they said, well, then you can't play. He goes, then I ain't playing. No one's touching my clubs.
And
that
he left.
Was the first time he was down there.
Yeah, he was a piece of work. By the way, Dave, you're exactly right. You can go until your tee time on Thursday. That's an exception to the mm-hmm. rest of the tour. Rest of the tour, you have to make an announcement by Friday before.
Well, if he doesn't play, I'll take his spot.
Yeah, I just found out I'm third alternate. I think you're second.
Yeah, I've played that course. And let me just tell you, wow, pretty awesome. So.
Oh, now Kevin's ruining this for us as well, telling us there's no alternates in the Masters. Okay, whatever, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin.
Great. One last thing, Cap, before you fly. And you'll be on TV today. You'll be on WGN Plus, so you can hear the Cap and Haw show, but you'll be on Comcast when?
We'll be on at 9 a.m. and then later today after spring training baseball on CSN.
I didn't realize there were any ballparks that weren't doing this already, but I think this may be the worst idea in sports today. The Philadelphia Phillies organization has announced they're going to start serving hard liquor to their fans.
Have you seen their team?
Yeah, they should drink.
Hard, big time. Get after it. By the way, as I let you go, have you ever seen Book of Mormon?
Yeah, it's great.
I'm going tonight, so I'm just curious.
It's very funny. Very offensive and very funny.
It's right up my alley.
There you go. I'll talk to you later.
See ya.
That's a cat man who celebrated 20 years. 20 years. On WGN yesterday. Happy anniversary again, Kip. It's 6:29. We'll be back with your big story next on 720 WGN.
It's free lawyer time. Karen Conti is on. It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti, attorney at law and attorney for the Brian Noonan Wang Dang Doodle? What's he call his show on Sunday nights?
I think it's just called the Brian Noonan Show.
Okay.
With Karen Conti.
Now, I know the Hawks play this Sunday, but I think next Sunday you'll be on, depending on the playoff schedule.
I think that's right.
Okay. Before we get to the Indiana question, which is this huge legal mess, let me ask you about the Ernie Banks story, because Ernie Banks... Dave, how would you describe her? Companion? Caregiver?
Caregiver.
She appears to have ultimately won a court decision that says she gets the entire Ernie Banks estate. Is there any way, once that decision has been rendered, that it can be appealed by the family?
Well, what the judge said was that the will was valid. So they had the witnesses to the will testify and say he appeared to be fine. He didn't appear to not know what he was doing. That leaves open, though, some other avenues to challenge the will, and that might be undue influence, whereby the caretaker could be alleged to have brought Ernie to a place, you know, to a law firm, and here's your lawyer, and kind of force the issue. Undue influence is not that hard to prove. So when you have elderly people and you're the caregiver and you're in what we call a fiduciary relationship, and you sort of force the issue, not really even force the issue, but just allow that person to make a decision with your influence, that could be deemed to be undue influence, and that could undo the will as well. So that issue has not been resolved yet. I haven't seen a lawsuit filed on those grounds, but I wouldn't be surprised if the family wants to pursue it that they might file such a lawsuit.
Well, I mean, the circumstantial evidence is... You know, right off of Law and Order. It's a month and a half or 2 months before he dies, and she has him change the will. I mean, do you see that a lot?
I do, and it's not, a lot of those wills just, you know, get knocked down. And that's why I'm surprised the family hasn't filed this undue influence. There's two parts of it. One is he of sound mind? And you can be of sound mind but be unduly influenced. And given his age, given the fact that he was sick, given the fact that he has family that he had left the estate to prior to this time, given the fact that she was spending all this time with him, was taking care of his affairs, you know, this all leads up in the mathematical equation to undue influence. So again, for older people, you know, you got to watch your caretakers. You got to watch the people around your elderly family members because, you know, they may be of good heart. They may not even want it, but the person gets a little paranoid, they get a little bit nervous about dying, and they feel like their family's not around them, so they want to leave it to the person who's there every day, and they may or may not really want to do that. So it's just a touchy thing. You want to give people the right to leave their estate to whomever they want, but you also have to understand you can't influence people at the very end.
6:45, we'll ask Karen Conti about the Hoosier mess in regards to this law protecting religious freedom, which has blown up in the face of Governor Pence and is costing Indiana, at least by way of threats, potential business.
There is, in this legislation, no license to discriminate, no right to deny services. And I think we can develop that language.
Karen Conti's here. If people want to get a hold of you at the office, what do they do?
Give me a call at 312-332-7800 or kconti@kcontilaw.com.
All right. Laws are established either to be preventive. What is that? Preventative. In other words, they're trying to prevent something from happening because they know it's a threat, or it's reactive to something that has happened. In the case of this religious freedom law, They claim a need was there, that other states have done it. There's a federal law in the books that has done it. But everything I've seen so far from Governor Mike Pence, he cites President Obama and the Illinois state legislature voting for the Illinois version. But the Illinois version and the federal version both have provisions to protect gay and lesbian lifestyles, don't they?
They do, and this one doesn't. And this one leaves the door open for that to happen. And that's why there's such a backlash here. You know, these laws are called religious freedom laws. There is a federal law, and that really just applies to federal action. So that's why states are passing them, because the states are saying, we want to have our people be able to exercise their religious freedom. But what happens when those religious freedoms conflict with civil rights violations? So, for instance, you know, a woman could be fired for using birth control if the boss is Catholic and believes that that's against his religious belief, right?
Right.
Evicting a couple because they're cohabiting, because that is not appropriate under a religious belief. A doctor not refusing to treat a woman because he's Muslim, and men can't treat females under certain very religious sex. In the Muslim faith, not refusing to sell gas to a lesbian. Okay, so all of those things could conceivably be okay under this Indiana law, and I think we can all agree that we're past that. You know, we've done the counter protests, and we've done the interracial marriage discrimination, and then we're not doing that anymore. And civil rights laws have really stepped up, and we don't even think about those kinds of discriminations anymore. But this law sort of gives people the right to do that. And I guess I don't understand why we need this law in the first place, number one. And number two, why are we allowing the possibility of legislation and litigation involving these issues that have been resolved years ago?
Well, I would go one step further and just say that if you insist on having the law in your books, as other states do, then just actually copy the law and put in the provision, the one or two line provision that protects gays and lesbians and transgenders and bisexuals from the same sort of discrimination that could come up by using the excuse of religious freedom. It seems like it's about a 2-minute fix.
It seems like it is, and that just leads me to believe that on the tail end of all of this gay rights marriage litigation and legislation, they come up with this law, leave out those provisions, and to me the logical conclusion is that's what they're intending to do, allowing people to discriminate against people based upon their sexual identity or their sexual preference, which I think we're done with that. You know, let's move on. We just, again, our religious freedom is very, very well protected in this country. And I think we can all agree. We've seen all the people who have wanted to use peyote, the Indians. You know, they were allowed to do that because that's a legitimate religious belief. The Mormon faith is allowed to do certain things. But there's two different religious, you know, rights that conflict here, and I think we're going to win when it comes to just basic human rights prevailing.
Well, and this is the problem with the far right and the far left in this country, because I'm sick of both parties, but you're entitled to believe whatever you want to believe. You're not entitled to force others to believe what you believe, and you can't legislate that, and you can't put it in a law, and Indiana's getting exactly what it deserves for this. So, you know, if they're not smart enough to get out of their own way, then businesses should leave.
And it is kind of refreshing to see that people are reacting against it and using their First Amendment rights to say, we're going to boycott the state. We're not going to go somewhere in Indiana because we don't want to lend ourselves to that. And hopefully, I see that happening in Arkansas. In fact, they're actually passing, or they just passed a similar type law. And Walmart, who's stationed there, is like, we can't afford this. I mean, you can't do this to us here.
Yeah, Walmart, and the biggest company in the world, is saying, stop it.
Right.
So, you know, it's outlandish and stupid and foolish, and you know, they're all the bad press and bad publicity is well, it's doing two things. One, they're getting what they deserve, and two, it's taking the focus off our own screwed up politics.
Exactly.
Did you decide who you're going to vote for yet for mayor?
No, I really don't like to voice my preference, but I am going to write you in.
Does it rhyme with Emmanuel?
I'm going to write in Steve Cochran. April Fool's.
Oh, look at you. Look at good. You. All right, get off the show. That's Karen Conti, attorney at law, and we're back after this with tennis superstar Andy Roddick. Andy Roddick and John McEnroe will be in town tomorrow night, and you can see some great tennis at the Where are they playing? The Sears Center, I think, right?
Sears Center.
Yeah, they'll be at the Sears Center. We'll come back with that next on 720 WGN.
Get ready to pick up that trophy, Andy. Lehman will join Arthur Ashe, Pete Sampras, John McEnroe, Jimmy Connors, Stan Smith, and so many great U.S. players. Roddick, one serve away.
Grand Slam winner, Andy Roddick, the last great American men's player. Where's the next one going to come from? Talk to Andy Roddick before the show. We'll play that back for you now, and just ahead of their appearance, Andy Roddick and McEnroe and stuff, tomorrow night here in Chicago. Here's the interview. Now, explain this tour to me. Is this you guys going around having some laughs, or is this hardcore tennis?
It's maybe somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
maybe some tennis with some laughs. No, I think it's a little bit more interactive than when we were actually on tour. McEnroe sums it up pretty well. He said he used to get fined if he misbehaves, and now he gets fined if he doesn't.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's funny because I think the last time I talked to you, I can't remember what it was, but I think we brought this up because you were and are. You're a very emotional player, but you always seem to keep it between the lines. Well, how close did you come to being McEnroe where you just lose it?
I mean, I think I probably did a couple of times. I don't know that I was maybe as personal with
right.
people as he was, but you know, I certainly knew the line, and I you know, unlike Mac, I wasn't willing to lose a match or get defaulted because of it. I kind of knew it's kind of like when you're a kid, you know how far you can push your parents without going over.
Right.
I walked up that line and looked over a lot, but didn't creep across.
Talking to Andy Roddick, and being number one for as long as you were and playing at the level you've played for this many years, you know, you have a taste of what it's like for these guys. And I'm a big tennis fan, and I grew up in an era in the 70s, you know, where men's tennis was such a huge deal. Do you worry sure. about the state of the men's game?
Well, not worldwide. Worldwide, it's never been stronger. You know, we have three of the greatest of all time right now. Djokovic right now has as many slams as Connors and Agassi had. So, you know, he kind of gets lost in the context of Roger and Rafa a little bit. But
right.
I don't think there's any question that we need another American star to sell it in this country with as big as NFL and all the leagues you're dealing with sure. that have home teams and have the infrastructure of fan support. I think we can ride out the Federer Nadal legacy here in this country for a while because they're a great sell here also. But there definitely needs to be some American star power after those guys move on.
Any of the kids coming up that you go, well, people don't know about this kid yet, but he's got a shot. He may be the next guy.
Yeah, it's funny because it's almost like you want to tell everyone about these kids, but as soon as you do, then they're 16 and they have a target, and people start talking. And
yeah.
you've seen that song and dance a million times. So I will say that the young players are in a much better place than they were 3 or 4 years ago, as far as prospects. It's kind of like the Cubs farm system. I know you guys have probably been dealing with that story
sure.
a little bit, but
sure.
You know, there is some upside with the young guys we have now.
The Power Shares series is a circuit that has a lot of guys in and out depending on the stop. How many of these are you going to do? Do you know?
I did three last year. I think I'm doing 10 this year. You know, I had fun. I kind of didn't know how much I wanted to play, last year, but I had such a great time, and I still enjoy kind of the 10 nights a year where I can pretend to be a tennis player still. So I really enjoy playing in them.
Well, and the fans love to see it. Now, one of the things that, you know, as you know, because you're a sports guy, period, you still doing the syndicated sports talk thing you were doing on the weekends for a while?
I don't do that. I work on Fox Sports, on Fox Sports Live, and have a podcast on iTunes, but still working in that space.
Well, I know you love all sports, and you know the constant argument in baseball and really football and everywhere is replay. Football's sure. talking about how to do rules changes. Baseball's trying to make the game a little quicker and stuff. But McEnroe sure. got famous for obliterating linesmen.
Yeah.
And you guys in the Power Share series use something called a Hawkeye, right? This is a new line calling
yeah.
aid?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of similar to what you see on same technology that you see on the main tour as far as replay. But the thing that's different with what we're doing is we're actually calling our own lines. So it leaves that awkward. Like, I was playing James Blake last week in L.A., on our first stop, or my first stop this year, his second stop. But first point of the match, I hit a shot, and he calls it out. I challenged him, and it ended up being in. So it has that little kind of show.
That's great.
In front of, it is great, and it's good. It's good value. When Courier texted me and asked me what I thought of it, I said that's fantastic, because it just adds another element of humanity or the human side of things, human error to the event. So
should be great. Should be great. Should be tomorrow night, and it is. It's tomorrow night at the Sears Center in Chicago. That's part of the interview with Andy Roddick. The full interview is up now. As a matter of fact, there's another interview up there as well with a guy named John K. Coyle, who was a silver medalist in speed skating in the 94 Olympics, who is now one of the world's experts on time. I had a fascinating conversation with him off the air as well that we have podcasted. So you can listen to that as well.
I mean, time as in...
As in the older you get, the faster it goes.
Okay, just...
The older you get, the faster it goes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to go that fast. You can manage how you process time.
Oh, you learned a lot from the interview.
Not a thing, but I'm working on it. And it's more than just staying in the moment.
Wait, what? I left the moment.
Yeah, no, you're already gone.
I'm gone.
Yeah. But the Andy Roddick. And Andy Roddick, I mean, you know, Andy Roddick's great. He's got nothing going for him, right?
I love
35
tennis.
Years old, all the money he'll need for the rest of his life, and he sees Brooklyn Decker naked. Decker naked. Naked Decker Brooklyn. What I said.
To make anybody tongue-tied.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN.
And Jordan Goodman joins us, the man who knows all about money. He's at moneyanswers.com. You probably know other stuff, too, don't you? Or is it just money, Jordan?
Just money. That's the only thing I know about. That's it. What's sex? Can you describe sex to me?
I could, but not on this show.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I'm always willing to learn.
I always like to start with the market. There are two economies in this world that we live in, and there is the Wall Street economy and then the economy of the real folks who listen to us and are listening right now.
Yes.
So let's start with the Wall Street economy. What are you seeing? What are your thoughts?
Well, here we are at the beginning of the second quarter. The first quarter, we pretty much ended even from where we started, jumping all over the place. I think there were something like 45 days of triple-digit moves one way or the other, and we ended up basically where we started. Even this week, soaring on Monday, plunging on Tuesday, looks like it's going to be down today. People just can't figure out which way we're going here. And the positives are the unemployment's been better. In general, the economy is growing. The dollar has been stronger, which is a good thing for us for the most part. Oil prices have plunged, so these are all good things. On the negative side, Europe is still in really weak shape. Greece may be about to be thrown out of the euro. Japan is in really weak shape. China is slowing down. And falling oil is hurting a lot of people as well as helping them. The way I like to put it about oil, which is down to about $48 a barrel, something like that, is that the pain is quick and concentrated, and the pleasure is diffused and delayed.
Yes. Okay?
So in other words, if you're in North Dakota, Alaska, Texas, Oklahoma, the places that are producing oil that were in tremendous boom times like a year ago, they are really hurting. They're shutting down rigs all over the place. That production there's been over 100,000 layoffs in the oil patch just the last 6 months or so alone. So that's a negative impact on the economy, and the oil stocks have been down. Oil earnings are going to be down about 65% in the first quarter from a year ago. So there's a lot of pain in the oil patch, and that's not good for our economy.
It's the moneyanswers.com website is the place you go that really get your answers on all things. But we're going to break it down into the stuff that doesn't affect the Wall Street economy. It affects your economy specifically, your student loans, your mortgages, your credit card debt. Your bail money that you need.
That's right.
And, of course, you can email Jordan through moneyanswers.com. You can get the resources there, get his books, and find out how he handles money because, frankly, he knows more about it than we do because, as he just said, he doesn't do anything other than money. That's his whole life. That's it. And, by the way, the description of sex probably is the same as the description of money. The pain is diffuse.
How would you describe that?
The pain, what was it? The pain is short and intense, but the pleasure is later or something? I don't know.
Diffuse and spread out over time. That's right. Is that the way it works for you?
I believe I need to get to a clinic. It's 7:21. It's time for the Money Clip. Breakfast of the Hawk later. Troy Murray will join us. Stand by for that. And what did I say the text question was today? Oh, questions for Rahm? Was that what it was? Yeah. I'm just, on pins and needles waiting for Rahm's office to call back and book his appearance on the show. If you have a question you'd like us to ask Rahm Emanuel, text questions at 312-981-7200. That's the number. And whether it's a legitimate question or a ridiculous question, we'll take them all. 312-981-7200. We'll go through some of those a little bit later on. Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com. Are you working on a new book?
I am. It's going to be coming out about a month just before graduation about student loans.
Good call. Because
that's the latest disaster with the latest bubble about to hit here.
Well, let's jump there to student loans.
Sure.
There are parents who are helping their children deal with student loans, and there are those who are wondering if they should deal with student loans at all. So if your kid's
you've got to deal with them because you can't get rid of them, okay? For 10 years in the bankruptcy law of 2005, student loans were made non-dischargeable in bankruptcy. So they'll go to the grave with you. So you've got to deal with them one way or the other.
Right, but in deal with them, I also was referring to the fact of, is it a good idea to go with a federal student loan? Should you go with a private loan?
Privates are much more expensive. So if you can do the federal, that's better. People say, I qualified for financial aid. What a privilege. lifetime indebted servitude, basically, to these.
Right.
They're 30-year loans in many cases. And the average person's graduating with about $30,000 in student loan debt. That's the average. Many people, 50, 100, 150, way more than that. And they're living at home. Over 50% of the people going to be graduating the next month or so are going to go back and live at home again, what I call the boomerang generation. They keep coming back. So it's an enormous problem. We're going to add about $100 billion in student loans this year when all these people graduate, up to the $1.3 trillion we've already got.
There is a school in Michigan, do you guys remember the name of the college? There's a school in Michigan that is now doing an offer. It's a small liberal arts college. But if you graduate from their school and you are not able to get a job, they will refund your tuition.
Wow. I don't think that's going to catch on. That would be a nice idea.
It's a great idea.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
I mean, there's provisions to it and different things that you have to make sure that you do, including actually trying to find work.
Well, that would be a good start.
Yes. Yeah. So,
but there are some things you can do. You can consolidate after you've got all the student loan debt into one loan at the lowest possible interest rate. And as usual, I'm going to give websites. There's a website for that, consolidatecollege.com. There's a federal consolidation program. It's kind of hard to figure out, but they kind of help you do that. There's also something called the Income-Based Repayment Program, or the IBR program, where if you qualify, you pay the minimum for 10 years, and then after that, no matter how much you owe, the rest of it is forgiven. And you qualify by working for the state, federal, local government, military, any kind of government organization at all. And the nonprofit, if you work for a nonprofit, 501c3, something like that. If you can show hardship, your debt to income is way out of whack, you can also qualify for that. So that's something that may help some people get out of their student loans, income-based repayment. And again, the same website I gave before, consolidatecollege.com, to see if you qualify for that. So it helps a little bit, but you really just can't get rid of them, Steve. They just kind of hang on forever. You just have to pay them off as quickly as you can.
I've heard many, many times from people who say, well, my kid's going to graduate this year. Should we start repaying the loan early? Does that ever make sense?
It does make sense. You get 6 months after they graduate to have to start paying. But the clock is still running. The interest is ticking every moment. So the earlier you start paying on it, the faster you get to pay it off. Because, a forbearance or delay just means you pay more interest. People don't seem to realize that.
The oil price drop has not seemed to be in line with gas prices. Now, I refuse to whine about gas prices being under $3 a gallon.
Yeah.
I would like the oil companies to make some money. I would like us to pay less for gas. And I think we can all get along here.
In many places in the country, it's below $2 a gallon.
Right. But here, as the oil prices have dropped to, I think you said, $47, $48 a barrel.
That's
again.
Right.
We're floating around 275 to 280 to 290.
Most of that's taxes.
Isn't it also that summer blend thing that changes the price?
That's right. So as we go into, Memorial Day is the beginning of the driving season. You're going to see prices going up just because there's more use. There's less use in the winter because you're in the middle of a snowbank. You don't kind of put in too many miles. But, I think we're going to see them going up a little bit. But considered to where they were a year ago, where they were probably in the $4 range, whoever thought we'd get gas below $2 a gallon again, so we can't complain too much. But it is causing a huge amount of pain in parts of the country. I do shows around the country, Steve. You know, I was in Alaska recently, did a show in Alaska. And just to give you a sense of the pain up there, their state budget for the entire state for a year is $6 billion. and they're anticipating a $3 billion shortfall because oil's at 47 instead of 100.
Right, right.
So they're going to cut their state budget by 50% this year.
That's a problem.
There's going to be cuts in Illinois. I mean, wow. You can imagine that.
We'll come back with more with Jordan Goodman in a bit. We'll hit the credit cards and we'll hit your mortgages and your refis and your consolidation of loans and things of that nature, and also try to get some of your questions into. Mike called Jordan before we take the break. Mike called insurance policy question about his father. We'll get that off the air and let you grab that call, Jordan, and we'll get an answer for Mike. It's 7:31. The school is Adrian College, A-D-R-I-A-N. Adrian College in Michigan. If you do a Google search on that, you'll see about their tuition refund program. Thought it was a pretty cool idea. Big story next, 720 WGN.
Now, back to more Steve Cochran.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me?
Maybe Clayton Kershaw, you work 2 days a week, literally 2 days a week, and you make $31 million. Or you can repair bobbleheads, work full-time, and make $1,000. I mean, it's your call. Jordan Goodman's the money man. MoneyAnswers.com is the website. Mike has been very patiently holding. Let's get to Mike. Mike, you have an insurance question relating to your dad?
Yes. My father, he's in his 70s. He had an insurance policy, and he was about to drop it. And somebody started talking about life settlements or something like that, about where you could liquidate it. I've never heard of it. I was wondering, is this a market? Has this been around? Is this,
Mike, you know, what is the amount of the policy? What is the amount of the death benefit of the policy?
It's a $600,000.
$600,000. And how old is your father?
He's 72.
Okay. So, yes, potentially, instead of letting it lapse, which is what the insurance company would like, you can sell it. There's a whole aftermarket in so-called life settlements. So somebody may be able to buy that for $300,000. You get the cash now. They continue to pay the premiums, and when your father dies, they get the $600,000. So that's the way the people invest in it. So, yes, instead of letting it lapse, you put all this money into it for all these years, you can actually get something out of it. This is something the insurance company or the agent will never tell you about, because I'd much rather you have it lapse. There's a website for that, which is fundinglife.com, and they've also got a phone number, 877-485-6681. And what they do is they match you, the seller, with somebody who wants to buy the policy, and now just giving you $300,000. That's better than bobbleheads.
Yeah, it is, by a long stretch. Paul's here. Paul, yeah, you want to know about refi?
Hi.
Hi, yeah, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Jump right in.
Quick question for Jordan. I'm trying to get some of my high credit card debt paid down. I'm thinking about refinancing my car and just see if that's something Jordan recommends as something, a good solution.
People don't seem to realize, Steve, you can refinance your car. Did you know that?
No, I thought that was really difficult.
No, absolutely you can do it. There's a website, myloangen.com. You know, I've got a website for everything.
Yeah, you do.
Myloangen.com. And basically, you extend the maturity of your car loan. What is your existing car loan? How many more years do you have to go on it?
I've got about 3.5 years left.
All right, 3.5 years. So you could probably extend that out to maybe like 7 years, something like that. I mean, cars are good today. They last a long time. So if you extended that out to, say, 7 years, your car payment is going to go down to make it much more affordable for you. And that's going to be a good way to do it. So you
mentioned that website. Is that a singular company that's doing it? Because
they shop it out to different places.
Okay.
You pick what your payment is going to be based on the maturity of the loan. So Paul's at 3 years. If he brings it out the full way to like 7 years, it's going to bring his payment down. He'll pay for a longer time, but it brings his payment down to something more affordable. And it also helps you avoid the repo man, so that's a good thing as well.
Yeah, but it does have to be in a situation where you're planning on keeping a car for a while, right? Because
Correct.
You're going to change
Correct.
The trade value.
Correct, because it's something, but it's a way of getting your payment down, refinancing your car loan,
Got
and
it.
Then they take care of it. But yeah, it means you're going to pay on it for longer, but a lot of people are taking on bigger cars than they can really afford, and the repo man, if you want a really growth business, Steve, okay?
Bigger than bobbleheads?
Bigger than bobbleheads. Repossession, okay? The repo man is going to do really well, because a lot of people have bought cars they can't afford. You want to know what the next bubble is? It's subprime auto loans. Okay, a lot of people have gotten cars with very low credit scores. And the car companies say, well, okay, if they don't pay it, we just pick the car up again. So there's the growth business in this country.
Unbelievable. Right now, that's pleasant. More coming up with Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com. $7.52, Jordan Goodman's here, moneyanswers.com. All right, so I would say, Jordan, if there's one question I get more than anything else, hey, next time you have Jordan on, ask him where we're supposed to put money now.
Yes. You know, so I hear this all the time. Of course, I talk to a lot of GM listeners and help them a lot. And this is the biggest question because they've got money sitting there in CDs, money market funds, T-bills, pretty much earning zero. And with what the Fed's doing, it's going to stay zero for as far as the eye can see. So what are you supposed to do with your money? And what I've been doing with my own money that's helped a lot of folks is what's called commercial mortgage bridge loans. And these are yielding 6% over 1 year, extremely safe. You get your money back at the end of the year.
Commercial mortgage bridge loans. So you're lending money to build bridges.
Not building bridges.
Oh, okay.
No. This is not an infrastructure play. These are what they're doing is they're bridging over commercial real estate companies using it for hotels, shopping centers, apartment buildings, medical buildings, all kinds of commercial buildings. And they can't get loans from the banks. That's just the reality of today's situation. The banks are so super tight. So they bridge them over. It's a one-year loan. They fix up their property. They may buy one, sell another one. They need a kind of a short-term loan to do this. And they're willing to pay the 6%. And you get the money very safely. They have a maximum loan-to-value of 65%. So there's a lot of equity. There's a fund that backs these things up. So no matter what happens with the underlying borrower, you get your money, interest and principal, as do. A $50 million fund backs these things up. So they've been extremely safe. And a lot of GM listeners who've done these have really got their money working for them now. And you can do it inside an IRA or you can do it outside an IRA.
So you can do it in an IRA and get the tax advantage too then.
Correct. Correct. A Roth IRA would be tax-free. A regular traditional IRA would be tax-deferred. So absolutely, you roll over money from wherever it's sitting now earning nothing. Now you're earning 6%. There's a website people can find out more about it, which is commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. Or they can always email me at moneyanswers.com, and I love it. I've talked to lots of your listeners and helped them actually have their money earning something and being extremely safe.
Now, you need 50 grand. Is that the number?
50 is the minimum. That's correct.
All right.
Either inside or outside an IRA. That's correct.
What if you don't have 50? Is there just bury it in the yard?
For Steve's listeners only, they'll let him in for 25. I shouldn't say that.
That's so not true.
And a bobblehead.
That's so not true. But if you do have a lesser amount of money, is there a recommended play?
Well, I mean, to earn anything decent, you're going to have to do stocks, basically. And obviously, they've been jumping all over the place. Bonds have very low yields today. Treasuries are about 2%. And I think you've got a lot of risk in treasuries because if interest rates were to go up, I don't think they have much room to go down. If they went up, you lose your principal. You could do something called master limited partnerships, MLPs, that have yields about 3, 4%. But again, they have volatility to them. So a lot of your listeners have 50 sitting around. In fact, many of them have hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting around, not knowing what to do with it. So
they should give
it
to me.
In many cases, this commercial mortgage bridge loans will help them out.
And some of you don't know how much money you do have. You know,
this is true.
You've got investments in things that you haven't looked at in years.
They don't even know what they've got. Yeah.
You know how many people get envelopes? They don't even open them?
Yeah. There are billions of dollars out there in unclaimed funds. In fact, there's an Illinois Department of Unclaimed Funds that probably has about $15 billion in it. There's a free website. Let me give out some free money if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead.
Open that. Missingmoney.com. is a website run by the state departments of unclaimed funds. I think nationwide there's about $65 billion in old insurance policies, bank accounts, 401ks, all kinds of things. When people move from one place to another, they die, just all kinds of things. They don't tell anybody about it. The money's now the way it works is the state, in theory, has to try to find you for 5 years. And they do that by putting ads in newspapers, incredibly small type that nobody ever sees.
Right.
And then after 5 years, if it's not claimed, the state takes it.
It's a good little scam.
The state of Delaware, there was a lot of corporations based. Half their state budget is claiming unclaimed funds. That's their main source.
How about that? How about that? Now, that don't open an envelope thing, I don't think I've ever told this story on the air, but I had a friend of mine who was Bill Paranoia. And that's actually the dude's name, Bill Paranoia.
I love it.
But couldn't understand why he was always behind financially and didn't open envelopes. Kept getting envelopes from the Hartford, over and over again, the Hartford, and thought, well, this is probably another bill. The Hartford, this went on forever, but that there was no collection or anything. Eventually, somebody opens the envelope. He was left a chunk of money by an uncle. It cleared probate. It shows up in this fund. He keeps getting envelopes. He had 120 grand he didn't know he had.
Open your envelopes.
Open your envelopes.
It's crazy out there. It really is.
All right, Jordan. Have a great day. MoneyAnswers.com.
Very good. Always glad to take their emails. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks. That's Jordan Goodman. We got a couple of questions for the mayor. We'll try to get to those before the top of the news. Stand by for that on 720 WGN. MoneyAnswers.com for those of you whose questions we didn't have time to get to. If you go there and click on the resources button,